Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my gosh, I got it right. I hope everyone is having a really good day. We are going to talk about all the soaps. We are going to have a little talk about As the Raccoon because it's ending because Procter & Gamble are shitty. You know, I mean, both Procter & Gamble and CBS of Bow City, if you ask me. There's no one on my call line right now. And let's see. In the album, Bridget Farrell, I guess. Hey, guess if you want to, like, sign up and be more in this conversation, all you have to do is go sign your name when you came and did that through Facebook. It's really easy. And so, yeah, it's going to be, like, a great show, like I said. Let's see. Oh, okay. Yay, my partner in crime is on the line. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hey.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello? 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 Hello?
Can you hear me now? Oh, my God. Can you guys hear me? Crap. Huh? Okay. Oh, you can hear me now, okay? So how is everyone tonight? Is everyone in a good mood? Okay, let's see, okay. Hopefully Terry will call back in. Okay.
Hello?
Hey, can you hear me now?
Hello? I was just listening because I'm in the car and I was getting something to eat and I was going to wait until I got home, but I thought I would just listen and then you're like, hello, because you're bringing me on. And then I was like, hello. I pressed one, and I'm like, hello.
Oh, my God. You're right. Blog Talk screwed me up, so I had to call myself back in.
Oh, you did? Oh, okay.
I was not ready. Yeah.
Who else is on the air right now? Anybody?
No. Bridget's in the chat room. Bridget, you're calling in, too, right?
Hey, Bridget.
Okay, yeah.
Hello, Bridget. I'm not in chat, but hello, everybody that is in chat. Probably just like a couple of people. How many people are in chat?
Hi, girls.
Oh, hello. I was kicking out last night. I just feel
what
so
is
bad.
Wrong
I was
with
so
you? I'm so ready. I was like, come on, Terry. Keep it up.
I was doing really good in chat room, but I was just too chicken to go on air and do that. Because I wanted to respond to that lady last night when she said about how Jason, it was a big sacrifice and that she felt like because of what happened to Michael.
Yeah, she's seeing something different. Everybody's seeing something
I wanted to say that, well, he's learned from his mistakes, and I'm sure he could do a lot of things differently than when he was younger.
Exactly.
He's a father, you know?
Exactly.
I mean,
and, you know, did I do good, you guys, last night?
Yeah, you did.
You know, the thing is, a lot of these Jade spammers like to type crap on the internet, but they sure don't like to get on live and actually debate on their couple. Because their couple is not really a couple. It's all about, and it's no relationship.
And didn't you say, Carly, that Christy got, they were getting mad at her? They're like, why would I want to go on the air and debate or whatever?
Yeah, the couple is ending,
and it's written all over today. Oh, my God, the insecurity was coming in waves.
Well, yeah, I haven't watched it yet, but, okay, I have a question that, me and my little co-host has been debating each other on for like the last couple of months, because I think it did happen and she doesn't think it happened. Oh, Shirley's on. Hold on. Hey, Shirley, you're on the line with us too.
Hi, girls. How you doing?
Good. Oh, thanks for calling into the debate last night.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad you did. I mean, yeah.
Oh, there it goes. Sorry, one of my windows wasn't closing. I was like, oh, shit.
Well, you know, one thing about last night, you know, the debate is one thing, but you know, you're limited as to what you can really say, you know?
Yeah,
you don't want to get into any arguments. And basically, it's just speaking upon your couple that you like. You know, you really couldn't say anything negative about the other couple. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you know what? I'm sorry.
So I was walking on a thin line, so, you know, I was trying, you know. The girl, what is her name? What was her name?
Oh, God.
I know it began with an O or something like that.
She made a
couple of, you know, good points. I mean, everybody has an input. Even the last lady that came on, you know, she made a very good point about sacrificing, because I'm sure in Jason's mind that's what he did. He gave up his family, you know, that's him. So that way he doesn't really have to think about them, because they're not really in his life. I mean, I'm trying to look at it at all angles. You know, I'm trying to look at it at all angles. Then you get pissed because he's all up Michael's behind. But you see, Michael is already there. Michael is already halfway in the life. So there's only so much he can do there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whereas
Oh, my God. Okay, hold on, you guys. Hi, Wizard from Tune In Tomorrow. If you want to call in. Oh, my gosh, she called in. Oh, my gosh, yay. Hey, Wizard, thank you so much for calling in.
Hey, how are you, Carly?
Good. I just wanted your opinion on Edward Tunes. I thought, you know, you know, I mean, I haven't watched it all because I'm, like, waiting to cry, like, in one moment and just not throughout the week. But I just want your senses on if you're happy with it, if you're sad about it, and how do you feel from the magazine point of view?
Well, it's always sad when we lose a soap. I mean, I've been in this business long enough that I've watched Port Charles and Passions and Another World, and, you know, I've watched a lot of soaps, and that's just over the years that I've actually been in the business. Before that, you know, it was The Edge of Night, and, you know, I've seen a lot of soaps go. You know, it's always sad. I'm enjoying the show as it goes off. I think it's sad that you know, had the show been as good as it's been these last couple of weeks, it might not be going off the air. That's what I was thinking. Yeah, that happens a lot with soaps. I mean, the one thing that I wasn't really happy with was, and I knew it was coming, I've known it for a couple of months, but I think it sends a really weird message that the one kind of person on the show who's not really getting a happy ending is Luke, because, you know, this is a show that built up, you know, that really played to a gay fan base. You know, they had Luke mm-hmm. and Noah, and then, you know, and they took a lot of controversy for not really playing them as romantic as they could have. Then when that was over, then they did Luke and Reed, and you know, to end it, to be sending everybody towards happy endings as the show comes to an end, and have Luke lose a boyfriend, and then, and it's not even like he reunites with Noah. He, you know, they sort of like end up going their separate ways. It's very weird to me that a show that worked so hard to give everybody on the canvas pretty much a happy ending, you know,
except him,
is taking one of their biggest sort of fan base centered heroes from the last couple of years. You know, Luke is a very popular character, and not giving him a happy ending, you know, that really sends a bad message to me. I mean, I mean, obviously I'm gay, but a lot of people who aren't gay have really gotten behind Luke and Noah, then Luke and Reed. I mean, there's this huge fan base that has nothing to do with being gay. It's just that they're, you know, these really great actors and this really great story, and they really
mm-hmm.
tapped into something in the country, and to have Luke go from being in a triangle to being alone at the end of the show when everyone else gets a happy ending kind of does not sit
yeah.
well with me. The other thing, you know, I really want to talk about, I've been on a couple of podcasts over the last week or so, and there's obviously a very big, you know, whenever a soap goes off the air, there's a very big outcry by its fans, and there's movements to, you know, save our soap and all that, and
mm-hmm.
and you know, there's a lot of people out there who are kind of saying, you know, let's get Oprah to save As the World Turns, or let's get
yeah.
you know, somebody to come in and save As the World Turns. And I love that, and I respect that, and I think there's so much, you know, I love the energy and the positivity. But what I really wish I could get people to do is focus on the shows that are still on, because, you know, As the World Turns is gone. The show finished filming, like, 2 months ago. The sets are gone. Many of the actors have moved on to other things. The show
exactly
is over.
Like,
Every single time a show ends. Every single time a show mm-hmm. ends. This happened when Another World went off the air. This happened when Guiding Light went off the air. You know, the fan bases pop up, and they're like, you know, okay, let's try and get the show brought back. And it's not going to happen, and here's why. The show was canceled for one reason and one reason only. Low ratings. I should say two reasons. Low ratings and the fact that As the World Turns is a show that was not owned by the network that was showing it. It is produced by Procter & Gamble and sold through Telenext, and that means there's a licensing fee involved. And licensing fees are wildly expensive. So that's why ABC soaps aren't under quite as much ratings pressure as the World Turns and Guiding Light were, because ABC owns its own soap operas. So they don't have to pay a licensing fee. They own the shows flat out. That saves a fortune. Whereas Guiding Light and As the World Turns both were owned by outside people, and CBS had to pay a licensing fee. Anybody who was going to pick up these shows, whether it's As the World Turns, Guiding Light, either of them, would have to pay that licensing fee. And there's just not, sadly, there just isn't a big enough audience for those shows to do that. When Passions went off the air, you know, DirecTV stepped in and extended its life for another year. Now, the reason that was able to happen was because DirecTV stepped in and picked it up before the show had wrapped, before the actors moved on to other things,
okay.
blah, blah, blah. Whereas As the World Turns is done. I mean, Mora West is, you know, who wants As the World Turns without, say, Jack and Carly? And Mora West is already signed on to The Young and the Restless, as is Paul Layden.
Yeah.
You know, the actors are moving on. They've, you know, John Henson, John and Kelly have moved out to California.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's what, I mean, you know, I mean, I don't think there was a loud enough outcry for As the World Turns. I'm not saying that was an important soap or anything, but we didn't have Twitter back then, or really Facebook or whatever. So, I mean, you could catch it maybe online, but it wasn't an outcry now where you have all the media outlets and Facebook and whatever at your disposal.
Well, and that's the other thing. You know, my friends over at the TVAddict.com ran something in one of their they run a periodic thing called channel surfing. And one of the things they talked about earlier this week in channel surfing was that in some ways, Entertainment Weekly, TV Guide, outlets like that, you know, they're sort of contributing to the downfall of daytime. Entertainment Weekly never pays attention to soap operas. They claim to be a magazine that covers all of, you know, entertainment, and yet the only time they write about soap operas is when the shows are going off the air. That's it. They wrote, you know, they wrote a piece earlier this year, you know, is daytime dying or whatever. TV Guide, you know, which covers supposedly everything on TV, has one little column at the back of the magazine. And this is a genre that produces, even after As the World Turns goes off, I think it's like 27.5 hours a week of original programming. 5 days a week, original programming, 52 weeks a year for the most part. And TV Guide can't be bothered to do anything more than, you know, this tiny little section in the back of the magazine. So, you know, the mainstream media only covers soaps from the point of view of that they are dying. I think soap fans have to rely on themselves to save their shows.
Yeah.
And in order to save their shows, they have to get people watching. And sadly, it's kind of a catch-22. The shows need to get better before people are going to watch, and the shows need more people watching before they're going to get better. It's sort of a weird situation.
All my children
booted Pratt, and wisely, very, very wisely. It took them way too long, but they did. And since then, the show has gotten 1,000 times better. I mean, and I, on the podcast every week, in the magazine, you know, I really try and get the message across to people that if you used to watch All My Children and you don't anymore, come back and take a look, because it's a completely different show than it was a year ago. It's a completely different show than it was under Pratt.
Yeah, that's how it was for me and Dave. I was pissed off after, you know, the cuts for Drake and Deidre and Mary Beth and Stephen Nichols. I'm like, wait, what? Are they going to get rid of Bowen Hope now, too? And that was my biggest fear, so I got mad at it. And I didn't watch for, like, 5 months. With that's always been, like, my home soap opera, but then I got mad at it for doing this. And then when I heard it was, you know, coming good again, I tuned back in, and it felt like they did this 180-degree positive tune. I mean, all their stories were really good. Yeah, it takes Days of Our Life like a whole half a year to wrap up a storyline. Easy.
Well, but you know what? That's the thing. Today's daytime fans. It's interesting. I'm of a different generation than a lot of today's fans, because, you know, I mean, I'm in my 40s, my mid-40s, so, you know, I grew up in the days when a good soap opera story went on for years. For me, one of the most classic, and we talked about this on Christie's show a while back, one of the best stories in daytime history, and all of daytime history, was the story, it was Another World, it was the story of Alice, Steve, and Rachel. And if this was a love triangle that went on for years, I mean, years and years and years, today's audience thinks it wants quick resolution. And so the shows try and give them that. The problem with a quick resolution is, once you get your couple together, there's nowhere for them to go, unless you're going to break them up again, and that's going to piss people off. And that's why I really think that soaps need to go back to a couple things. First of all, we need to go back to the days of Love in the Afternoon. You know, that's when soaps were their most watched.
Mm-hmm.
That's when, you know, even just the simple slogan, Love in the Afternoon, summed up what soap operas are and are supposed to be about. It's romance. That's what we tune in for. That's what we want. Everything else is gravy. When you look at the story of Luke and Laura, and, you know, when the, you know, obviously 30 million people were watching the saga of Luke and Laura. And in many ways, I blame Luke and Laura for the current mess that Daytime is in. And here's why.
Okay, yeah, please. Here's why.
Here's why. Luke and Laura's love story culminated with a wedding that was watched by 30 million people. It was, you know, undeniably the biggest soap opera story in Daytime history. It was on the cover of Time magazine. You know, everyone in the world, even people who never watched soap operas before, knew who Luke and Laura were because they were just everywhere. You know, you couldn't. So there were songs on the radio. They were everywhere.
Yeah.
But so in the years after Luke and Laura, everybody out there, and to this day this still happens, they tried to recreate Luke and Laura. But they got it wrong, because what they took from the story of Luke and Laura was, you know, Mikos Cassadine freezing the world, and people on the run, and crazy sci-fi stories. But what they forgot was that what we really were watching, you know, we weren't really watching because this guy was trying to freeze the world. We were watching two people who weren't meant to be together fall in love. We were watching this epic
yeah, true.
Romance. And today, when they try and recreate these things, they do the crazy sci-fi stories, they do the, you know, the crazy crap like that, but they don't actually do the love story. You know, look at more recent history, look at Brenda's Return to General Hospital. This should have been a ballpark, this should have been a no-brainer. You've got one of the biggest stars in Daytime with one of the biggest recognition backers who's done primetime, who is beloved and who loves the genre,
yep.
Who's willing to do interviews, who's doing photo, you know, whatever. She's coming back. And what do? You put her on the show and have her spend 3 weeks, 4 weeks actually, walking around Rome talking to people we don't know. Talking to glorified day players. And I don't care. Yeah, they are played by Swamp Thing's ex-girlfriend and Brad Rowe, you know, who kind of almost was a movie star. They're great, and I love them, but we don't have any connection to them. The very first day Brenda was back, it should have been that Brenda Sunny reunion, because think about it. We waited 4 weeks for that reunion, and we all complained about the 4 weeks. But the minute they locked eyes, we all went, oh, look at them. They're
I mean, I know I did. I'm like, yay, you know.
Exactly. And the other problem is, you know, and this is sort of a problem that General Hospital has suffered for a long time, is Brenda's story has become about, you know, has yet again become about a woman who is being kidnapped or threatened or put at knife point or put at gun point every other day. And that's not entertainment. Nobody wants to see that. We want, you know, it needs to be more than that. Violence in and of itself is not a storyline. And that's all that General Hospital gives us these days. I think that's why so many of us have really been attracted to the story of Patrick, Robin, and Lisa, because it's at least something different. It's not the endless mob violence. It's not the endless, you know, it's something... it's a real marriage about real characters that we care about, and they manage to turn Lisa from someone that we hate into someone that we kind of care about. So it's really fascinating that, you know, we want to see that. We don't want to see all of the endless violence.
Well, that's true. I mean, I myself, when Jason in the studio, I myself get a little... I don't mind the shootouts because, you know, I just, for some reason, it shouldn't be that 24/7. And you're right, Robin, Patrick, and Lisa has been the story to us. So I just hope, you know, Brenda and Sunny, you know, they're emoting on that because I'm a Sunny Coley fan and a Sunny Brenna fan, so right now my loyalties are kind of divided, but at the end of the day, I cannot say really, out of all the couples in the universe, you guys, I couldn't say who I want most, Sunny or Brenna or Sunny and Colby. They have me have this
and that's
bad taste.
But that's the beauty of soaps. You shouldn't, you know, if you play a soap right, you've got Sonny Brenda, Sonny Carly, Carly Jeff, Carly Brenda, but, you know, even Jason Brenda. You've got, like, so many different fun pairings there that all you have to do is put these characters on the canvas, and they can ricochet off each other in romantic situations and comedy and tragedy and all of that for years. You don't need... The other stuff is superfluous. It's, you know, there's no... The problem with the violence and stuff is that we know there is no payoff to it. You know, oh, Sonny's getting shot again. Big deal, we know he's not going to die. Oh, Johnny got shot. Big deal, we know he's not going to die. We know Sonny's not going to go to prison for shooting him. If you're not willing to play the consequences of violent acts, then the violence itself loses all impact. And, you know, I just want to just address something that someone said in the chat, that Jason Lover Forever said in the, or Jason Lives Forever, I guess it is, said in the chat room, and that was that, you know, they kind of agreed with me and kind of didn't because Luke and Laura were from a different century.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's true, they are, I mean, not century, but, you know, basically in you know, if you measure soaps in dog years, which some of us do, then, yeah, it is a different century.
Well, yeah,
but,
I mean, yeah.
But the point is the same. The point mm-hmm. is that people were not watching General Hospital for the, you know, what was the equivalent of the mob then. You know, Mikos Kastanai was basically the modern, you know, today he would be Sonny. He would be the mob. The difference is that because Mikos was a villain, they actually, in the end, you know, killed him eventually. And then they brought Helena on and all that. But, yes, it is a different, time, but here's the thing. Good story is good story. And, you know, what soap fans are looking for the most part, really hasn't changed. It's good storytelling. You know, and whether it's good storytelling about the mob, good storytelling about romance, or good storytelling about, you know, a guy trying to freeze the world, it's all good. It's all about good storytelling. And I think the problem with General Hospital right now is we're not seeing good storytelling. You know,
no.
Jason's, there's lots of story going on, endless story, but it's plot point story. It's plot point to plot point to plot point to plot point, like you can connect the dots, as opposed to character-driven story where, you know, the actions of the characters make sense to you, and the things that they do and the way they react are relatable. And there's nobody really on the General Hospital canvas who's relatable, you know, They're a bunch
okay.
of they're paint by numbers characters. They're not real people.
Well, I'm gonna have to like almost disagree with you.
Okay.
Bill,
hey, that's cool. I love when people disagree. It lets me try and defend my point.
Okay. No, I mean, you know, yeah, some people on there, you know, their character has been messed up. But, you know, I think it's the how they are writing the characters. I mean, for one, there's a lot of characters that are not acting right, that are not doing what they would have never done 3 years ago.
Well, but here's what I'm saying. They're not relatable. Tell me one person on General Hospital who is a relatable character.
None.
Only because
no,
I'm in love with him, I would say Spinelli, but that's just my
own. Spinelli's not
know.
Relatable. Spinelli is in
oh,
no way,
okay,
shape, or form relatable. He's a great character, and I love him as a character, but he is not a relatable person.
Sonny could be a relatable thing because he's dark, moody. He has this mystery about him.
He's not relatable because he suffers from what I call Star Trek syndrome. You know, he time after time, you know, the Starship Enterprise used to travel around the universe, and every week they would come across some weird planet, and they'd say, "Should we go there?" And they'd say, "Well, yes, let's go there." And they'd go there, and something bad would happen. Then, and they the next week they'd be traveling around the universe, they'd come across a strange planet, and they'd say, should we go there? And instead of thinking, you know, the last time we went to a strange planet, something bad happened, so let's skip this one. They would go to that planet and something bad would happen. Sunny is the same thing. Sunny has, I cannot listen to Sunny one more time bitch and moan about the fact that, you know, I nobody understands me, and he does bad things. They hurt the people around him. He whines about it, but he never
learns from his mistakes.
Exactly. He never learns from his mistakes.
He does the same thing all the time.
He never changes. He, you know, just the other day when he was talking to Brenda, you know, he was like, my kids mean everything to me, and I would do anything for them. No, you wouldn't. If you would do anything for your kids, you would get out of the mob. Because you know what?
Okay, see, this is where you and I disagree on this. Because to say that both these characters, Basin and Sunny, has to get out of the mob in order to be redeemable, in order for them to have a life with even Liz, or have Sunny have a normal life, I think having them out of the mob, I'm sorry, but I feel like if they put Sunny and Jason out of the mob, yeah, where are they going to put them? You know?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That question, I get that question all the time, and it makes my head spin. Okay, let me set it up for you. Jason, very, very simple. Jason, we give his memory back. He goes back to being a Quartermain. I know, he has
he
some...
He was the most boring Quartermain ever.
Wait a minute.
He was boring.
Let him finish, Curly.
I'm
answering your question here. I know Jason had some kind of inoperable brain tumor or whatever. They took out a piece of his brain. Well, put it back in. You know, it's a soap opera. Of all the things they do on soap operas, making Jason back into a Quartermain, which at the same time would revive the Quartermains, which they're always promising to do and which fans are always asking for. So you make Jason a Quartermain, and then you've got this great story where because Jason still loves Sam, but at the same time, because he's no longer in the mob, he's free to be with Liz. So he's torn between the two women. As far as Sunny, you get Sunny out of the mob because he wants to do the right thing. He wants to be a better person. He wants to be able to spend time with his kids. And, you know, reasonably no woman should let him spend time with his kids because he's gotten all of them almost killed. So he gets out of the mob, but he finds himself, he's sort of at loose ends because he's like, you know, I liked being in power. I like power. Because that's Sonny's whole thing. That's why he's in the mob. He likes power. So you get him out of the mob, but then you find him, he's struggling for power, so he decides, you know what, I'm going to take over Jax's company, and I'm going to take over ELQ. I'm going to be the most powerful guy in Port Charles, and I'm going to prove everybody wrong because I'm going to do it legally. And suddenly you've completely reinvented this character, and instead of having him in this boring cycle of endless violence with no consequence, you've opened up the entire canvas to him. You know, I mean, that's you open up a whole new world of story for him by taking him out of the mob, and you open up a whole new world of story for Jason by doing the same thing.
Okay, so where are you going to find these fantastic writers who have the talent to actually write
stories
like that?
Oh, hell, I'll do it.
Okay.
Half the fanfic gals could write it.
It sounds good, but, you know, it's just not happening.
That's the thing. It's a catch-22. What's happened is soap writers, and this is kind of across the board, soap writers and executives are ratings are in a free fall across the board, and so they are panicked. They are absolutely panicked. And what they're doing is they're saying, well, we could take a chance and tell some, you know, really good stories, but people might not like them and they might tune out. Or we can just keep telling the same crap we're telling now and hope they don't notice that we're just recycling the same stories over and over and over. I mean, come on, who didn't roll their eyes last week when, oh, look, Lucky has a twin? Right down to the scruff. Right.
I have
down
to agree.
To the scruff. It was just like, who in Port Charles doesn't have a twin? You know, Sam, you had one. let's see. Who
Emily.
I embarrassed everybody.
Emily
okay,
had what?
It's boring,
yeah,
bad
was.
Storytelling.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with you. I have a Y&L question that is bugging me. Okay, do you know if they are going to actually let Billy and Victoria be happy for, like, a while? Or do you think it's going to be with Abbott Newman trying to break them up every 6 months? You know, because
well,
I think,
you know, those are the kinds of questions that are actually almost impossible to answer because, you know, if I had those answers, I would be the head writer, and I would be very, very happy, and I would be making a lot more money. So
yeah,
that
I know,
would be awesome. But
I do think
that with Billy and Victoria, they've got an awesome couple, and they know it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're very, very aware of it, that they lucked into something that, you know, that
yeah.
they couldn't even imagine. I don't think they even imagined that this would work. When they first started playing with the two of them together, I don't think they ever imagined that Billy and Victoria would become, like, the show's super couple. I don't think they had a clue.
Well, and they are.
They're awesome. You know, we just ran our last cover, had them in their wedding stuff, and I was just like, oh, my God, they're so
Oh, you did? Oh, by the way, I picked it up. You guys did a wonderful little story on the whole thing.
Oh, well, thank you. But the other thing that they've done by putting Billy and Victoria together is they have created one of those really fantastic classic soap stories where, the very first soap stories, if you go all the way back and look at, like, Ernest Phillips' original works or Douglas Marland, you know, the great, great, great soap writers, if you look at their stuff, almost every single time, it was two families who were at war and a member of each family fell in love. You know, even, you know, Capital was that way, The Bold and the Beautiful, all great soaps basically revolve around this very simple Romeo and Juliet idea. And with Billy and Victoria, you've got that. You know, you've got the Abbotts
mm-hmm.
and the Newmans who have a decades-long history of hating each other. And Jack doesn't want them together. Victor doesn't want them together. Jack and Victor hate each other. So, of course, you can see it would be very easy for Jack and Victor to kind of pool their resources and try and come between them. This is classic, classic, classic great mm-hmm. soap opera. I couldn't
you know,
be
and
happy.
It brings
you
out
know,
the characters
what,
in a different way, too.
Yes.
I mean,
exactly.
Victoria isn't tightly wound at her daddy's thumb. Billy's a totally
no,
different
no.
person with her. I mean, they bring out
yeah.
the best of each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, you know, Y&R, they should put out a blueprint for all the ABC soaps and say, this is what a good soap is all about. Because to me, that is the best soap on television.
Yeah.
I think Y&R and Bambi are, in two different ways, are very, very classic, classic shows. Y&R has strayed a little bit under Maria Bell. I mean, she's doing some good stuff, but she's also sort of strayed from what Y&R has traditionally been,
mm-hmm.
which is Y&R is a little slower moving. It's much more,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see people having real conversations on,
mm-hmm.
you know, on General Hospital, they have two different kinds of conversations. One is exposition and the other is bitch fights. Those are the two
yeah.
kinds of conversations
I
you
agree.
Generally get on
yeah.
General Hospital.
Yeah.
With Y&R, you're much more likely to see people sitting down and having actual conversations. B&B has sort of almost kind of reinvented the soap genre. It's this perfect little 22-minute nugget. I wouldn't want it to expand to an hour because it's perfect at 22 minutes. It's a little bit campy. It's very reliant on couples and relationship storylines. They very rarely rely on violence. When I talked to Brad Bell a while back, he said, you know, we almost never use a gun, and when we do, there's definitely a purpose to it. You know, he's like,
well,
you know,
like the story with Brooke's brother when he
Storm. Right.
Yes,
right.
Thank
when
you.
Storm,
yeah.
When Storm killed himself, that was just an emotional wild
Oh my gosh,
horror.
Yes, it was.
And more recently, even the more recent stuff that they've really caught fire with, you know, with Brooke having slept with Oliver at the party and the big reveal that it was Brooke and everything that came after that, and they're still feeling the after effects of that. It's at heart, it's modern, but it's also incredibly old fashioned, you know? It's very, very, and then whenever things get too serious, you can cut over to, you know, the Jackie M crew, and they're a little bit more, that's where their camp factor is. That used to be Sally Spectra, and, you know, now they've sort of filled that with Jackie and them, although even they have, you know, become a little bit more serious with this whole story about Owen and Bridget having a baby together and Jackie, you know, kind of going off the deep end and acting as if it's her baby. But I think Y&R and B&B are classic soaps. They do what they do very, very, very well. I think All My Children is redefining itself as a classic soap. I think it's still a little bit rocky, but, you know, if you give me an episode that has I'm not a fan of Ryan for the most part. I used to be years ago, but I'm not a big fan anymore.
Okay.
But I love him and Madison. I think they're a great couple. I love anything with the Hubbards. I think the Hubbards are just money in the bank. Mm-hmm. I love that the strongest family on All My Children is a black family.
Yes,
you know,
in this day and age
when there's so much talk about, rightfully so, the lack of diversity on soaps, you know, there are two main black families on soaps right now. There are the Winters clan on The Young and the Restless, who are never seen, and their stories are really bad.
Yeah.
And then there's the Hubbards, who are written just like everybody else on the campus. They're given strong, great stories.
Strong
and they
black
are,
family, right.
And you know what? You said it. When you said strong black family, the word that really resonates with me there is family. The Hubbards come together in a time of crisis, and that to me is so awesome. And you know the other thing that I love? I wrote about this a couple weeks ago. When Angie started losing her sight, they played this several times, but the scene that really stood out for me was Angie was sitting at, I don't know, one of the restaurants. I never remember the name of the restaurants on All My Children, but she was sitting in one of the restaurants, and she was talking to God, and she said, of all the things you could do to me, why this? I use my hand.
Yeah.
I need my sight to use my hand to do your work. And then David came in, and David mocked her for talking to God. And she was like, you know, you can do anything you want, but don't you dare mock my faith, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And to see someone on soaps who has a strong religious conviction.
Thank
now,
you.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
I'm an atheist. You know, I'm an atheist. And but I love and I'm white. I'm not black or religious. But to me, seeing this strong woman who has this faith, I was so moved by that. I'm not gonna lie. Okay, I'm gonna confess something here. I cried.
Okay,
Debbie Morgan, she's such a powerful actress.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
You know, she's so good. And plus, it's so good to see not only a black woman on soap, but a strong woman. Because on GH, you don't have any strong women on GH. I mean, you know, who is a strong woman on GH? Who?
Yeah, and the strong
there
women
is,
that they
there
do,
is an issue.
I mean, they have, you know, they have what could be defined as strong women. I mean, like I think Sam is kind of a strong woman in a way. I think Alexis can be a strong woman, but General Hospital is kind of a misogynistic show, and so it tends to write its women as even its strong women as I need rescuing, you know.
Yeah, You forgot another couple, the black on Dave. What about Ava Lexi? I mean, they don't show
Ava
and
Lexi.
I feel like they never show them enough.
They don't
well,
use
exactly
them hardly
what
anymore.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Is there are really only, you know, I'm trying to think. Aswell Turns, no. Bold and the Beautiful,
no.
One Life to Live, not really. All my children has the Hubbards. General Hospital has no one. I don't really count Abe and Lexi because, first of all, Lexi is Stefano's son, is Stefano's daughter, and they have never, I don't feel that they've ever played Lexi and Abe as a front burner couple. You know, the Winters clan, they play them as front burner sometimes.
True.
And the Hubbards are definitely front burner. Mm. Lexi and Lexi and Abe are like broken out when they're needed as a cop or a doctor, but they're not really a strong family unit.
I agree with you that they are not being used because my money joke is that, you know, if Lexi left the show and Daniel left the show, they will only have one doctor, and that would be Nathan. Maybe that joke doesn't make sense, but, like, Days of Our Life, if you give up a lot of people, sometimes they give up the doctors, and they are in a hospital setting, too, sometimes. So wouldn't you want to have more doctors than you have on the canvas?
I think, you know, it depends. It's funny because one of my all-time favorite shows was The Edge of Night. And The Edge of Night was kind of a great example of a soap that was a little bit different and yet very traditional. It was crime-focused, but not in the way that General Hospital is crime-focused.
Yeah.
Because where on General Hospital, the bad guys are the heroes, on The Edge of Night, the heroes were the cops who defended the town and the lawyers and you know, that kind of thing. But what was interesting about it was, unlike almost any other soap, it only had one doctor during most of its later years, and that was Dr. Miles Cavanaugh. And what was really interesting about Miles was Miles generally was only called to the scene when people died. he was basically, they almost never were at the hospital. It was the rare soap. Almost every soap has the hospital as a kind of a center. You know, somewhere along the line, someone decided in soap opera history that every soap should have at its center a hospital and a bunch of doctors. I don't know why. I don't know who decided this. You know, I don't know why it wasn't decided, hey, newspapers, we should all do newspapers. It was hospitals. But The Edge of Night had this crappy hospital set, and it was crappy because they rarely used it, and the only time they used it, I think Miles was actually a forensic doctor, so he only examined dead people. So I don't necessarily think that you have to have doctors. I would like to see more doctors on General Hospital, just because, you know, that's kind of what it's supposed to be about.
Mob in moderation and more hospital.
Yeah,
I think everything. Mm-hmm. I think everything in moderation. You know, except French fries. I think French fries you should have as many as you want. But when it comes to soap operas, I think
more balanced.
I think everything should be balanced. You know, we talk about this a lot on the podcast that, you know, General Hospital is 4 days a week mob, and then there's 1 day a week of everything else. It's been a little bit more balanced. It's been a little bit more balanced with the Patrick and Robin story. Like, I feel like that's been getting quite good airplay. But when you think about the stories that are on 4 days a week, sometimes 5 days a week, they're really all somehow connected back to, you know, the mob. They're connected to Jason and Sonny, or, you know, it's Michael's rape in prison and his after effect of it. And, you know, it all kind of spirals right back to the mob. And, you know, this is a show that, for years and years and years before there was a mob, or even when there was first a mob, you know, remember, the first real infiltration of the mob in Port Charles was Frank Smith, you know, when Luke and Laura were on the run. And Frank Smith was the bad guy. And the whole thing was, we're going to bring down the bad guy. That was the other thing that I really liked about The Edge of Night, was that it knew who your bad guys were, and they knew how to use a bad guy. You introduce a really bad guy, whether he's a mobster or a killer or whatever, you use him for 6 months to a year, and then you either send him to jail or you kill him. General Hospital's glorified violence. I mean, you know, I come back to this a lot and I harp on it a lot, but it is something that has bothered me since it happened, and it was just a real light bulb moment for me about General Hospital, and that was when Sonny shot Dante. He shot an unarmed cop. And, you know, later they tried to play it. Right, and they tried to play it later as, you know, well, it was his son, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, so, well, first of all, that doesn't make it better. But at the time, he did not know it was his son. And he shot an unarmed cop at point-blank range. And when they had scenes just last week where they were talking about Johnny's shooting, and Sonny said, you know I'm not the kind of person who would shoot an unarmed man. I'm like, how can the writers expect us to believe that when we saw him shoot an unarmed cop? I mean, that
Okay, yes, he was an unarmed cop, but also he was there to bring down Sonny. I mean,
so
But that's
the point is not he was there to bring down Sonny. He was a cop. Sonny is the bad guy. Sonny should be brought down. Sonny is the bad guy.
I don't agree with you on that. I'm sorry.
Wait,
okay, wait.
I have to stop you here because I have to ask the question. In what universe is a mobster who orders people dead, who shoots people point-blank range, in what universe is he not a bad guy?
Okay, in one universe, okay, it's not like he's going around killing everyone. He was only shooting Dante because of the whole betrayal thing. He got betrayed.
No.
Raleigh,
he shot,
but he's still a cop.
He shot Dante because Dante was going to arrest him, and he didn't want to go to prison. Carly, no matter how you slice it, no matter what his reason, he shot a cop.
He was wrong.
There is no way in this world that a person who shoots a cop at point-blank range for any reason is anything other than a bad guy, period. Mm-hmm. No one on the face of this planet who shoots a cop at point-blank range is a good guy. There's no way. I mean, this is the thing. To be honest, this is what makes me crazy about General Hospital. General Hospital has spent so long building up Sonny and Jason as heroes that, and don't get me wrong, I love the characters and I love the actors. I love them. But what I cannot tolerate is that General Hospital has spent so many years putting them on a pedestal that they have actually convinced the audience that these men, one of whom is a hired killer and the other of whom is the head of a mob, that they are good guys. They are not good guys.
Right.
They are bad people.
They are bad people.
Bad things happen around them. Bad things happen because of them.
Right.
I mean, just because Sonny feels bad when, you know, his kid gets kidnapped or his son gets shot in the head, that doesn't make him a good person. General Hospital has lost all sense of morality.
Yes, they have. It's
they've convinced the audience that this upside down morality is somehow okay. I don't get it. You know, I don't really think
that the audience feels that way anymore. That's why so many people have.
Well, Carly does. I mean, and I'm not picking on you, Carly. I don't want you to think I'm picking on you, but you represent a large portion of the audience. I have this conversation with people on my show quite often. There is a large portion of the audience who basically have hero worship where Sonny and Jason are concerned, and they have blinders on, and they don't look at them and say,
kind of sad,
you know, it's sad because General Hospital has created this horrible, horrible morality. And when you look at, like, for example, The Sopranos, which, you know, General Hospital loves to point out that it's based on, like, The Sopranos and The Godfather and all that.
But
here's the thing. The Sopranos, we knew Tony was a bad guy. You know, we related to him as a family and all that, but we knew he was the head of the mob, and we knew that sooner or later he was going to have to pay the price. The Godfather movies, they were about these very violent men who we knew were the bad guys. Just because, you know, Sonny has this great love for Brenda or Carly or Claire or whoever his girlfriend of the moment happens to be, just because he and Jason are sexy and hot, that doesn't make them good guys, you know?
That's what
drives me nuts.
And they dumb down the PCPD to where they can't solve a case. I mean,
well,
they're supposed
only,
to be...
Not only, Not only do they dumb them down, but now on a regular basis, the PCPD just opens its files to the mob. You know, here, Jason, come in and help us solve
exactly.
this crime.
Exactly.
Oh, this
Spinelli. Let's work together and save Sunny because
Spinelli is the only person in town who can solve a crime, not the PCPD.
God,
you know, I mean.
Okay. I don't have a problem with Spinelli solving cases. I don't. And, yeah, maybe Sonny was wrong in what he did. But Dante was wrong, too. He could have just exposed himself for the lying cop that he was.
Wait a minute. No. Harley, again, you're buying into the messed up morality. Dante was a cop. He was working undercover. That's what
that
was
his
job.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's what cops do. He was there to bring down the mob. So the fact that he did his job and did it well and was there to arrest Sonny does not justify Sonny shooting him. That, again, you're buying into the
No, it's not that I'm buying into it.
You got to realize, Carly, he was undercover.
Okay, you guys are all right and I'm wrong, okay?
There's a huge part of the audience that does exactly what you do, and they look at it and they say, you know, well, Dante kind of deserved to be shot because he lied to Sonny. Well, okay, Sonny is a criminal, and Dante was working undercover. That's what cops do. And to justify this behavior, what really bothered me was after Sonny shot Dante, I really literally wanted there to be an outcry. I wanted officers' wives who their husbands work in the real world bringing down real-world criminals to be furious that this show was glorifying and trying to make it look like Sonny's actions were justified. There's no way that you justify a cop being shot. I mean, it's reprehensible to me that they did that. And it bothers me that when people say, well, you know, Dante deserved it because he lied.
Mm-mm.
He didn't lie. He did his job. He was undercover. He was supposed to infiltrate Sonny's life. It doesn't make it right for Sonny to shoot him because Sonny is the bad guy.
Right. I mean, Carly, let's face it. Killing is wrong, period. You can't justify any of it. You can't. Killing is just wrong.
So if someone got raped and the rapists go off and... Oh, we should just let them off the streets and not want them dead.
But that's not what's happening. It's not like Dante raped somebody and so Sonny was shooting him to defend somebody. That's not what happened. Sonny committed a series of crimes over many, many, many years. He is a self-professed mobster.
Mm-hmm.
Dante went undercover to get the goods on him. So it's the clearest case of cops and robbers possible. You know, You can't compare that to somebody shooting a rapist. I mean, because in that scenario, you're making Dante the rapist. And Dante didn't do anything wrong. Dante was 100%, he is the good guy in this scenario.
He was when he went on the court and said, oh, Sonny didn't suit, what's in
no,
the car?
And I completely disagree with that. That's how General Hospital works. They can't ever have Sonny or Jason pay for their crimes. And so as a result, even though Sonny shot Dante at point blank range, Dante lied and covered it up. And that's equally repulsive to me because that's the world that General Hospital works in. The only way to tell the stories that they tell is to have Sonny and Jason constantly get away with doing bad things. They have to be allowed to do that or else the show can't go on, you know, because otherwise they get caught. And so in order to do that, they put everybody on the couch. They make Lucky constantly bend the law so that he can get out. They put Alexis in the position and Diane in the position of getting bad guys off. I mean, I can buy because that's, you know, there are people who are defense. You know, Diane is a defense attorney, so that's
right,
what she
and that's
does.
What
that
they
makes
do.
Sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But to have Dante, you know, lie in court, that was just you know, and they can't even have even their cops, like Ronnie, you know, Ronnie kicks Johnny's gun into the water to try and frame Sonny. Like, you can't even have the cops do an honest investigation. Like, everything on the show has to be corrupt. And that's because the morality is so messed up that if at any point one of their crimes is exposed, the show has to basically, they've written themselves into a corner. You know what I mean?
You know, that's sad because they obviously, they don't know how to write any other way. You know, it's kind of, they don't know how to write any other. They don't know how to write about family or, you know, or love or children, anything like that. Everything is, that is revolved around violence. I mean, the whole show, one way or the other, it's just all about violence. And I don't know, it's just turning people off, you know, other than the bad writing, it's just turning people off.
Well, and I should say, you know, I should say, the writing in and of itself is not bad, and when I say that, I mean the day-to-day dialogue. That's, I think, what keeps many of us coming back. I mean, I love the actors on General Hospital. Maurice, Steve, Jonathan.
I
love the actors. And I also love the dialogue. I mean, I think some of the dialogue writers on that show are just brilliant. And, you know, they can write scenes like nobody's business. And that's what keeps me coming back, you know, like, and I had to sit and think about it a while back because it was right after Sonny shot Jason, or Sonny shot Dante, and I was like, why do I watch this show? This show makes me angry. The plots on this show literally make me angry. Why do I watch it? And I said, well, it's because I love the acting and I love the dialogue. I think that, you know, those two things are so important to the show.
Well, I don't even watch the show anymore, so, you know,
I'll watch the scene
here and there, but I don't really look at the show anymore.
For Guiding Light, for how did you, with the mobster and Guiding Light, I liked that. I liked how they played that, too, with Danny and Michelle and everything. What do you think about that? Was that good mob story?
The thing I liked about that was that they did what I needed them to do. They got Danny out of the mob, you know, and then, but they were able to keep the mob element by having his mom, Carmen, be this, you know, bad, evil presence over them, you know, and so that way they were kind of, in a way, able to have their cake and eat it, too. You know, Danny did, you know, they always established from the moment that they introduced Danny, they kind of established that, yeah, he's in the mob, but it's really his mother who does the really bad stuff. You know, he was kind of like the mob's bookkeeper, you know, I'm in the mob, but I'm not really bad mob. That's one of the things that's always interested me about Sonny and Jason. What do they do? You know, because we know they don't deal in drugs. We know they don't deal, we know they don't deal in prostitution. The only thing we know they do is import coffee. So, I mean, they must be importing some mega drugged coffee or something.
I don't really understand
what their illegal empire is based on. And I asked Guza that once. You know, I was like, you know, I was doing a story about unanswered questions on General Hospital. And I said, you know, what is it that Sonny and Jason do that makes them mobsters? And he's like, well, we don't really ever talk about that. And I'm like, okay, I know they don't do drugs, and I know they don't do prostitution. He's like, no, we just kind of assume they do something else. You know, I'm like, okay, so you
well,
know.
Isn't he
like,
the writer? Doesn't he know?
Well, because,
he doesn't
no,
even
I'm,
know?
The thing is, they never want to put a label. They never want to put a label on it, because if you put a label on it, then it becomes in the audience's mind. For example, if they told the audience that Sonny was a drug dealer, let's say, well, then the audience is going to look at it. The drug dealer comes with a much different connotation than does mobster. Mobster, you think, you know, well, he's bad, but I don't know exactly how bad. Whereas drug dealer, you're like, okay, he's selling smack to kids, you know. So as long as you can keep him a generic mobster, you know, that occasionally kills
generic
somebody,
mobster,
he's not that bad.
Oh, well.
What show do you think? What show do you think is the best right now?
Soap opera?
Yeah.
Oh, Young and the Restless.
Young and the Restless, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Carly?
Well, I would have to say probably Ryan Off.
Okay. I thought for sure you'd go General Hospital.
No,
which is
because,
fine, you know. I mean, everybody's got their show.
No, because I don't have a Widowbird couple on General Hospital right now. They've taken all my couples and stabbed me in the back and put them with people I'm furious over, so I don't have any couples on them. I mean, okay, Robin and Patrick, but Robin and Patrick are not even together right now either, so there's not one mutable couple for me on General Hospital saying, oh, I want them together today. No. After they broke up Maxie and Spinelli, I was pissed. I'm still pissed off.
I think the problem with couples on General Hospital is that they don't write couples. They don't write romance. So they basically, you know, they decide two people are going to be together, like, for example, Maxie and Spinelli. And they did give them a little bit of romance for a while. And I liked their non-wedding. I thought their non-wedding was very, very well written and very nice. But then they don't know how to follow through. So basically either you become this couple who's in limbo, like Jason and Sam, who, you know, we know are in love, but we don't really, we haven't moved forward. You know, they don't talk about weddings or anything like that. They're just kind of like an existing couple. Or you get them together like Robin and Patrick, and then the only way that the show knows how to cause trouble in a couple is to have one of them commit infidelity, whether it's Maxie sleeping with Franco, Maxie sleeping with Matt, Patrick sleeping with Lisa, you know, that's again, it's kind of representative of the cyclical writing on General Hospital where they just kind of tell the same stories over and over with different characters.
I mean,
for me, it will always come to, I run number by the Sam and Jason are in love. I will probably say that to my last dying breath.
Well, but of course, but we've talked about that before. You can say that to your dying breath because you're a Jason and Lisa, and that's perfectly fine. But
so,
you know whether you want to see
it
as true or not. Whether Jason and Liz fans want to accept it or not, Jason and Sam are in love. I mean, they, you know, they are. You know, Jason and Liz fans don't have to accept it, and you know, but they are. I mean, it's they are written as in love. They are played as in love. They are in love. Jason and Liz fans don't have to like it, but it's a fact. And, you know, and I say that as someone who actually really wishes that they would play the Jason and Liz side of this story. I mean, we've talked about this before, that to me, having Jason, Liz, and Sam on the same canvas and not playing a triangle with them is just moronic. It's just beyond stupid not to play that triangle. Especially when you have fan bases on both sides that are so, so very passionate about the couples. So not to play that is just, understand how any soap could not.
But then why would you do that? I mean, Sam and Jason, they have had their turn. Now, they've been together for, 3 years? This is the second go-around?
No, this is... Well, yeah.
So is that how it works?
Liz, let me finish. You know, Liz and Jason never really had a chance. They had like and they've been friends. I mean, their history goes much longer than Jason's and Sam's. They had a beginning, then they had an ending, and we got a little bit of scenes there and a little bit of scenes there, and never really got to tell their story. And if they could tell their story, if they had decent writers, this story could be awesome.
Oh, I've said that before. I did a whole podcast about the fact that they need to play.
No, I don't believe in this triangle thing. They don't need to be a triangle.
But it's stupid not to play a triangle. That's what soaps are about. Soaps are about triangles. And you have this situation where you have a guy who half of him is totally into the whole action adventure thing that he gets with Sam. Half of him longs for the life that he wishes he could have with Liz and the baby. I mean, why would you not play? That's the ultimate, that's like the wet dream of a soap opera writer is to
didn't they do that in 2007? I mean, he was still with them.
For like 6 seconds. They did it for like 6 seconds. But that's the kind of story you could write for years.
I wouldn't want it to go for years.
No.
I really. Well, that's
okay.
That's
but
a,
I mean,
That's just
but
me. But you're missing the point. That's what good soap opera is. Good soap opera is you find something like that where you can have sort of like they used to do with Jack's Carly and Sonny, or even Jack's Sonny and Brenda. You find a triangle, and you continue finding ways to bounce the three around on the canvas so that your rooting values shift, so that who's together shifts, so that circumstances shift, and you can write that for 20 years if you do it right. And the thing is, I get very frustrated when people want a couple together, and that's all they want, is they want that couple together. And they, you know, because once that couple gets together, there's not a story, really. You know, that's the end of the story. I was interviewing, I can't remember his name, but he used to be the head of daytime for NBC television. And we were talking about passions, and we were talking about how fans were very frustrated because Teresa and Ethan, you know, had been going in circles for like 2 years at that point. And he said, you know, listen, the thing is, you know why they call Happily Ever After the ending? Because it's the end of the story. It's where you want, you know, it's once you get there, you're at the end. Happily Ever After is death on soaps. So,
okay,
so,
all right, I know. You're possibly right, but I'm saying at least give them a story.
Oh, I agree 100%. Yeah, I agree 100%.
I mean, just give them a story. I mean, I think the average soap watcher knows that there is no forever on soaps. I mean, we get that. But then but all Jason and Liz fans, we just want our little piece of the pie, too, just like Sam has had it with Jason. And why can't, you know, she have it? I mean, why can't Liz and Jason have it?
I mean, they can't even be in the same room together.
You know, this is the part that I don't understand. And then you're talking about triangles. These people haven't been on screen together in, what, almost 2 years?
Well, and that's exactly what I'm saying, is that is a huge mistake. They should be playing this for all it's worth. They should be playing both sides of this story, and they should have been playing it all along.
Yep.
I mean, you've got, on the one side, you've got a woman who represents home and hearth and who has the one thing that Sam can't give him. She has a baby that Sam can't give him. On the other hand, you have this other woman who, you know, kind of fits into his whole, you know, dangerous lifestyle and all that. They are the yin and yang, and that is what every soap dreams of, is creating that kind of situation. So for General Hospital not to be playing it and not to have been playing it all along is beyond it's so incomprehensible to me. You know, it makes no sense on any level. And like I said, especially when you've got, you know, I know there is this huge Liz and Jason Sam base. I mean, when we did the Super Couple Smackdown, Liz and Jason, you know, kicked butt. The Liz and Jason fans, you know, they just filled our office with ballots for them. So why the show would ignore the fact that you've got Liz and Jason fans and Liz and Sam fans, both of whom are just, you know, borderline rabid for their couple, why would you ignore that? It's just, it's dumb. I mean, because that's money in the bank. That storyline, if you played it, would be money in the bank, and they just refuse to play it.
And it's not the first time they've done it, too. The Rick and Liz years, they hardly ever had any screen time together when Jason and Courtney were together. They were tapped. But then, this is the second time they've pulled this.
It's going on for years.
And,
I mean, it's gone on for years. Same thing with, you know, there was a huge fan base who were interested in Sonny and Alexis. And they could have played a great Sonny and Alexis Carly triangle. And they played Sonny and Alexis for like 2 weeks. And then, you know.
I actually did like Alexis and Sonny together.
Yeah, I mean,
I liked the idea of Sonny and Alexis. And I liked their flirting and stuff. But when it actually came time for them to, like, when they had their sex scenes and stuff, I felt no chemistry.
Oh, they were boring.
They were just deadly dull in the sack, you know. But the funny thing was, as As parents, they're interesting. As friends, they're interesting.
Yep.
But and
as
I
lovers,
really,
boring.
As lovers, oh good God,
yeah,
they were just they
know,
were just
they
were definitely dull.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, another couple that I like never got together, and this is probably the strangest coupling you will ever have me say, but I always thought it would be this funny with Alexis and Luke. Only because whenever they get...
Luke?
Okay, no, I just,
actually, they
I
are
just,
funny together. I do
yeah.
like Alexis.
Yeah, I mean, because he's always calling her Natasha, and, you know, they, you know, kind of get under each other's skin, but they do work together to try and get Elena out of their lives. And so, you know, I just thought that could have also been played, you know, not so romantic, but more of a friends thing, because when, you know, Luke was in the hospital with that whole thing, you have Sonny and Alexis both visiting him saying, don't give up forever. And I always thought, you know, they could do this. They could just make them as a fun little couple. I'm not saying for like 3 years. I'm just saying for like a couple of weeks. It would have been really funny to see Alexis and Luke in the sack.
Yeah. I think I love
well, I'll tell you, it is funny to see them in the sack. Because when I saw this, I said, oh, God, they are pitiful. They are pitiful lovers, really.
And you know, the funny thing is, Maurice Bonnard has chemistry with everyone. Everyone.
Mm.
I mean, I swear to God, they could cast a tree opposite him, and he would have chemistry with them. But and he and Alexis had, you know, he and Nancy had chemistry out the wazoo when they were just, like, flirting and stuff.
Yeah.
But the minute it turned to actual romance, it was just like, okay, wow, this, I was stunned. I have never seen him be part of a couple that didn't have chemistry. You know, even I hate this. I don't really love this whole Claire thing. And yet,
I don't either.
The two of them together have so much chemistry.
Yep.
I mean, it's chemistry bouncing off the walls. And you know what? I think I could buy it if it wasn't two things. One, I need her to stop with this. I just want you to get me pregnant. Crap. That just drives me up the wall. And how many times are we going to play the story of someone who comes to town to bust Sonny and then, you know, falls under his inevitable charm?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
Again, it's the repetitive, it's the endless same story over and over.
Well, yeah, I agree with you. Oh, if I don't ask you a question for my grandmother, ask me now, I might get shot. But no, she was wondering when Melissa Reeves, like, have you heard when her first air date is by any chance? Like, because Melissa Reeves is coming back to Days of Our Life, right?
I don't think it's going to be until fall. I'm not 100% sure because I don't have any of my stuff here because I'm at home. But I seem to remember it's not going to be until, like, if I had to guess, and that is what it is right now because I don't have any of my material, but I would bet November. I bet they'll bring her back in November sweeps.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I just think Hope really needs her cousin right now. I know Hope's in there, but I think Hope just needs Jennifer because I thought the writing was really good with the co-house with Hope and everything, but the one thing that fell flat for me was they got through their kid's death. They got through, you know, Bo having a long lost daughter with Billy thing. They got through everything. And to break up over Sierra's kidnapping, for me, I'm like, wait a moment, that's not what Hope and Bo represent. They get through the stuff. They don't go turn on someone else because they are having problems. And, you know, I would like to see Carly and Daniel together because I'm not a Daniel and Chloe fan. Yeah.
Hope has a bigger problem. She's battle with this crazy cellmate.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This cellmate is a trip, boy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, but I just want my Hope and Bo back. I mean, can someone just bring me my Hope and Bo back, please. Terry would love it, too. We are both big Hope and Bo fans, so having Bo and Carly together for me, I'm like, it's not working. I don't like it. I mean, Bo and Carly would work.
I think this is another case of, you know, the difference between sort of younger soap fans and fans who've been watching for years and years is that I know that putting Bo and Hope together is nice, but it's also kind of deadly, you know, because there's not a lot to do there. Whereas I find Carly interesting, and I like the idea of having, you know, Bo be a man who, at this point in his life, has both of these women in his life. One who, you know, Carly, who he was with for a while, but he didn't necessarily fully explore the relationship because at the time they were together before, he was still really hung up on Hope. And having Hope still be in his life because he's still drawn to her. And they have, you know, they have Sierra together, and there's again, potential for great playing a guy who's torn between two women. I love that kind of story, and I think there's so much emotion to be wrought out of it, and that's, I am a sucker for an emotional story. I love romance,
you know,
and all that.
Yeah, I love romance too, but then there comes a time when, you know, you have to make a choice on something. I mean, you know, I think even, to me, you know, I wouldn't want to see the same kind of thing go on for the next 20 years. I mean, there has to be an end to one. You know, you have, he's going to have to make a choice, you know.
Now whether
that'll take 6 months or a year, I don't know, but somewhere down the line, it's going to come to an end where he has to make a choice. Which one
definitely
is
and
he
I think
going
that,
to choose, you know?
Definitely. And I think that's the story that any, you know, any good triangle plays is whether it's, you know, whether it's Jason, Sam, Liz, or Carly, Bo, Hope, you play the person who's in the middle kind of saying, okay, I need to make a decision. And the stories that I love is, like, let's say we're telling this story with Bo, Hope, and Carly. I would have Bo sort of sit down with both women and say, okay, you know what? I know this is going to be difficult on you guys, but I'm going to date both of you for the next few months, and
really a soap opera, because you know this kind of thing cannot happen in real life.
That's not true. Why is it any different than The Bachelor or The Bachelorette? Millions of people watch this show. Millions of people watch a show where a woman goes on dates with 20 men, all you know. I mean, it's
totally idiotic and it's not real.
That is real.
Crap.
It's more real than anything on Days of Our Lives. It's real life. These are real life people.
By the way, you guys, we have 2 more minutes.
Okay.
You know, I do have Wizard on more often because when Wizard's on, the whole hour and a half goes by.
That's because when Richard's here, he, A, has no problem talking. I love to talk. I get to talk to myself for the next 2 hours. And B, I love, one of the things I love when I come on these shows or when I do it on my show is, you know, people have strong opinions. I have strong opinions. And I love when people, I don't necessarily want to do a show where everybody's just going to nod and say, oh, yes, Richard, I agree with you. You are so smart. You know, I want the debate. So I love doing it. It's a blast for me.
Well, I do.
I and I had a debate last night on Christy's show about the Sam.
Oh, God. Yes.
Only one DeSam fan called in, and basically she was debating for the whole DeSam fan base. So that was kind of interesting. I was too chicken to get on the debate, so.
Yeah, she was too chicken to debate, and. Yeah,
I was doing really good in the chat room, but I just couldn't get on the air and debate.
chicken. That's just, but no, I mean, I think I do want to have you on again in October for fall, like what's going to go on with like November sweeps. Because,
yep.
I always think November sweeps is like a good time to watch. And my other quick question for you is, when is YNL, why are they going to have YNL in at the Road Tunes place? How long is that going to be?
It's only a week. It's one week. Oh, okay. It's 1 week of episodes. It's a week of reruns. They're just going to air, like five episodes. So-called classic episodes, although their choices of episodes are a little bizarre to me, but it's only for a week.
Okay, because I just thought that this, I saw that, I'm like, okay, maybe I haven't seen that long, but then I looked twice, and it was there, I'm like, wow, I mean, I'm kind of mad at CBS and the U.S. Open because Monday, we never got to see at the Routines here because
you didn't miss anything. That's a national preemption. It happens every year. Whenever for tennis, for the NAACP, basketball and all that. It's a national preemption. So they prepare for that. They know.
This Monday it was on. Someone told me it was on the East Coast though. Because of the rain delay?
It might have been because of the rain delay. I mean, normally, that's a very normal thing that they do that. But the thing is, and this is the thing, with soaps today, whether it's ABC or CBS or NBC, you never actually have to make anything because the episodes are all on the episodes are all on CBS.com or NBC.com or Hulu.com, so you can always catch anything you miss.
I'm not doing it.
It's been happening on and off all evening.
Yeah, it sounds like something rattling around or,
Not me.
Not me.
Oh, not me.
One of you is lying.
Well, maybe there's both in the phone lines.
One of you is lying. That's all I'm saying. and on that note, I'm going to bed.
Okay. Right. Please come again.
Okay.
Yes, please come again. Yeah.
Y'all are a pleasure. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Good night.
Talk to you later.
Night,
listen.
Okay, so the four of us are still on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you guys, I'm PMSing tonight, too, by the way. I don't know why I'm carrying my whole listening that, but yeah. Yeah, so. But no, that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of slide it from my out-the-return thingy. Because I left on Facebook, we are having the Road Tunes talk, and I thought I might get more calls for that, but I was wrong. That was Terry over there, this one.
Who, Yannin? It was me.
Yeah.
I admit that.
Yeah, I was gonna blame it on Terry.
Yeah, it was me. I've had a long day today.
Oh, wow.
I'm okay.
And I'd have to say a hell no to a triangle between spam.
I know.
And
I said, why would
Jason.
We want to see a triangle?
There
they
is more to write about for Jason and Liz than there is for spam. I'm sorry.
I know. I agree with the fact
that he said that the last time he was here about triangle.
I disagree with what he said about how much in love they are. I don't see the love for
Sam love.
At all.
It's lust.
You know, like I said before,
their
fans are going to see the love because they're their fans. You know what I'm saying? Yes, they are going to see the love there because they are Jason fans, and it's, for them, it's there. I personally think that
I think he cares for her. I do. I mean, from the little, from the few scenes that I've seen, you know, I think he cares for her. But it's a different thing with a Liz. You know, you can be in love with two different people, but not in the same way.
Yeah.
You know, and
exactly.
I do think he cares for her, but with Liz, it's something totally. It's just different. You know, and I feel that it's deeper. But then that's me. What the hell do I know about love?
And I'm sorry, Sam is not understanding his life. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you.
They can throw that in our face as much as they want, but she does not fit in his life.
Oh, and I just want to say, Cherry's the perfect co-host.
Yeah, no, but Mia, Jason lives forever. She doesn't want to, she's afraid to come on an air and talk to
her. Why? Susan does.
When I first called into Christy's show a long time ago, it took me forever to dial that number. But because it was the 10th anniversary of Realization, I felt like I had to, because, you know, we've been a fan for this couple for so long, and I felt like I wanted to pay tribute. And I got on there and I played it back once, and I stuttered so much. I didn't even know what the heck I was saying.
So much so you stuttered. So you know what? Christy's show was the first blog talk show that I'd ever. I didn't know what the hell. I said, "What the hell is a blog talk show? What is that?" But I used to, you know, I don't know how I found. I think I must have found it by accident. And all I did was just, you know, listen whenever she used to have her show. Never called in spring. That, in fact, that's how I found out about Carly's show, because Carly used to come on there as the co-host. So I said, well, let me check this chick out too. So that's when I started, you know, listening to you. And then, but so as far as coming on and talking, your show was the only show that I had, you know, actually done that.
Well, I mean, I can see why it would be nervous for some people to do it. When, you know, Cherry and I always say that if Jason and Liz did not break up, I don't know if we would have, you know, met because of Christy getting the Late on radio show. You know, and I just found the Late on radio show by the guest book. I was just bored one night, and I typed in everything Late on, and then I typed in Late on radio.
I just found it by accident. You know, I said, what is a blog? What is a blog? I mean, what is that? And I would listen to her show, you know, and then I heard Carly, and then Carly said, well, she has a show. Come, you know, people come listen to my show on Wednesday nights, whatever, Monday and Wednesday.
Well,
so that's when I said, okay, you know, and then I got to, and I said, well, I guess I can get on there and talk too. I said, why not? Because everybody I know, see, is not interested in soap. So I'm the last of the soap lovers. No one cares. My friends, my family, no one cares about
not even your sister, not even that
You know, I can tell my sister something about Jason, you know, whatnot. She said, and you know, you can tell when people really don't care. You know, sound
okay. Cherry, forgive yourself. Because last night, I know you were willing to debate on it, but
I
just couldn't say, okay, it wasn't like you were sick, and it was because you were nervous, and heck, I in the debate, because, you know, Christy had her own words. I felt like I was walking this political tightrope.
That's how I felt, too, even when I was just listening. I said, well, I'll listen to them, and I'll see where they go, what kind of questions, because it's sort of hard to debate without saying anything negative about the other couple.
But then you don't want it to start that way. You know, I said, okay, this is about talking about what you like about your couple. And that's, you know, I don't know. But I
was agreeing with, like, usually when that neutral person, when she came on and was saying that it was a sacrifice.
Yeah, yeah.
But the last thing that she said, I mean, yeah, he learned from Michael's mistakes, so that's probably why he thought he had no other choice but to give him up. But he's learned from his mistakes. He could be a father to Jason.
Yep.
But learn from them and, you know,
and do better.
He was willing to when they thought before Sam, before he found out that those two thugs threatened him, Liz called him to meet her, and he was willing. He thought she was going to come to, you know, be with him, and he even asked Max to, like, change, you know, secure with the windows, bulletproof windows. So he was willing to give it a shot, and they were both willing to give it a shot when they were on that couch. Day, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
But you know, for the most part, Jason and Liz, they've never been on the same page at the same time. They haven't
when he was
ready, let's go for it, and then she would back off. And then towards the end, she wanted it, and then he would back off. Like, you know, they have that fear. I think, you know, there's a couple of things of standing in the way, I mean, on Jason's, you know, point of view. He doesn't want to look up one day and see what he really is in Liz's eyes. You know, I know what she says, you know, she says, well, you know, I see all of you and, you know, and I accept this and I accept that, but he feels maybe that's that one time that he's going to do something that she can't live with, and then he's going to see this, you know, this disappointment or even hate. I don't know. And as far as his son, he told her during the trial in 2007 when he was in trial, he told her, or he told Sonny, or he told somebody that he never wanted his life to touch his son. You know, he didn't want his son to, you know, to learn who he was. So it's sort of a tough thing for these two people to actually. But I think anything can be written. All you got to do is pick up that pen and write it. And I think if they got a talented writer, I mean, the story they could tell could be awesome. They could show him, you know, trying to, you know, doing his, you know, still in the mob and still coming home to Liz and the kids, and him trying to get that balance act together. I mean, the stories are endless. They're endless how they could write them, but they're not going to do it. So, you know.
We were talking about this today. There's danger, even if you're not in the mob or a police officer.
Yeah.
Your kid could get hit by a car. My dad got hit by a basketball.
Right, life. Yeah, life. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what, your child could get molested. Your child could get kidnapped. Your child, even if...
Your house could get set on fire by you and the kid, and, you know, and you get locked out. Not that it was bad, but, you know, I mean... They should never criticize you for that. If, you know, like, oh, my God, how could you not watch those kids, blah, blah, blah. No. All he was really concerned about if they were okay. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like they, you know, he freaked out. Yeah, he freaked out when he saw no one, you know, the house burning and all that. And but the thing is, every day something bad, you know, it happened. And my whole thing was the Cassidines are a dangerous of the mob. I mean, for that person to say that Elena is just not a desperate anymore.
And the way she's saying it, though, because they're not used, they never used Helena, really. They only put her here and there and here and there and kind of built the story up a little bit, and then all of a sudden now she's gone. I mean, they didn't even give it a full story. I mean, they gave it a start and then it died. I mean, that's GH. They start something,
awful.
And then now where's Helena? She's gone.
Oh, well, yeah, that's true. I was just,
the Helena part and kept it going instead of just here and there and then, you know, made it soapy like it was then I think mm-hmm. it would have been better. But now that Becky's on maternity leave and all that got put on hold because she's on maternity leave and all this and that. It's a dud like everything else. The only real story that is interesting is the Patrick and Robin.
Yeah, the Robin thing.
That's the only thing that's interesting to me.
Yeah.
Even the Brenda part is so boring. I agree with him on that. They did not. They just let her sit, they didn't use her, and nobody was interested in it. They just said,
if I was there, I would be pissed. I would say, wait a minute, you brought me back for this.
Exactly. You brought me.
You know.
Does anybody like the chat page? Where did you like the Lucky storyline? I know I said it in chat, but I'm liking the
Lucky. As long as that little redhead Irish girl takes him away, I'm happy that he's not with Liz.
That's what I was thinking, too. But you know what? I was starting to like Lucky and Maxie, but shoot, man. But if I have to like this girl, I'll like her, you know?
But, you know, they could still put them in a triangle.
Yeah.
They could put him in a four-way, all I care.
Well, yeah. You guys are going to be surprised what I'm about to say.
Okay.
If they had to, if they had to put Lucky and Maxie together, this would get free for raids on, and if Sam accidentally died, I know I'm being really mean right now, I would jump on that Maxie and Lucky train like there was no tomorrow.
Because I do have to admit that JJ and her do have chemistry. Her and him and Maxie.
Really?
They do have some chemistry. I was very surprised when they started putting them together a little bit, and I noticed there is chemistry with those two.
Well, I just don't understand why they didn't go with it further. Because they wanted to do a Shell. They wanted to do a Shell reunion or something. That's why. I'm hoping that once this is over that he'll still be in Max's orbit and maybe she'll get jealous of the Saban shit.
Or are they still thinking that they're going to still do a Lucky and Liz thing down the road?
After
he finds out that little Aiden
Shirley had to put a jumper on that conversation.
Wait a minute, guys. Now, you know, my heart is with Jason and Liz. You know, I don't want anybody else to know. But then also, you have to face reality.
As long as the Boobie Brothers are as far away from Liz as possible, I am a happy
man.
The Boobie Brothers.
Dick can have Brooklyn. They're doing just fine right now. I'm liking them, too. They're kind of have some chemistry going on.
I don't like them, but I guess I'll have to because if that keeps them away from Liz. And
Hopefully it'll pick it up because I don't think TC's going to be there on GH much longer.
Yeah, I was reading something about him leaving. Well, doesn't he have other stuff? I think he's on his way out.
I think
probably on to bigger and better things.
They just had a baby, and he went with his family.
Wait, who are we talking about?
Tyler Christopher. Am I in the minority here about Athena, Christine, and Ethan? Is anybody?
Did you see her today when he was kissing Maya?
Yes.
They do have chemistry together. But I think they're waiting for her to turn 18.
Are they going to try to recreate?
And Christina's character's been sick, so she's been sick, so they, I think they're holding off till she's better.
You know what? You know what? I should look out what she has.
Yeah,
what
something.
I figured it, I bet it's mono.
Oh,
mono.
You know, a couple stuff. People seem to be coming down with this mono.
Yeah.
Is it a between the mono and the damn bed bugs, I tell you, where is last days?
So how long is she supposed to be out then? For like a month or what? Because
The mono is one of those things where...
It's contagious, yes.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't even know you have it.
Yep.
Like, it could be like the flu. Because when I was in high school,
yeah,
and I was
tired, no energy. Because one of the tennis players had it, you know.
Oh, okay, well, when we were in high school, half of our class was infected with, you know, mono.
Well, you can get it from a water fountain. You can get it.
They used to call that the kissing disease.
Or sharing bottles of water or pop or whatever. You can get it.
Or spit. Yeah. I mean, because, you know, that was the kissing disease. That's what they used to call it.
Yeah.
The kissing disease.
Kissing
disease. That's an old term. I haven't heard that in a while.
What?
The kissing disease. I haven't heard that kind of thing.
Well,
I know.
Honey, I've been around for many moons. I've heard many a saying, but that's what they used to call it back in the day, you know.
Yeah.
Mononucleosis, whatever you want to call it, they call that the kissing disease. So I guess you get that from somebody's spit, you know, somebody's sputum. Ooh, that's disgusting.
Oh, gosh. Okay, let me ask all of you. Do you guys have the
Let's change
off?
The subject.
Okay.
But I do like Christina and Ethan together.
Did you see their scenes in the park the other day, Bridget? I love those scenes.
Yes, that was
good.
And
he said to Johnny that he has a heart, she has a soft spot for her. Oh, my God.
Yep.
I love that. And then when he said to Christina, what did she say to him? Or her?
She said you're something about him being a smart person, and he said you bring out the best in me.
Yeah, you bring out, oh, my God, that was beautiful.
This is Ethan you're talking about?
Yeah, Ethan and
Christina.
Oh.
And they had to ruin their scene together with Maya coming in the...
I know.
But
I loved how Christina looked away, kind of forlorn about it.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Carrie and I have been having this debate with each other probably since we met each other. And, okay, I could swear that Robin knew about Jake because of this one conversation. And, like, they were in the lounge or the, you know, where they were getting dressed or something along time ago, and I thought Robin and Patrick both knew.
They
never said anything. Now, I think now when Jason was in the hospital for his hands, and when Liz took Jake by his room,
good
night. And it seemed like he was, Patrick, you know, saw him, you know, and then he was, like, looking kind of funny. But he never said anything. She never said anything.
He did, but Patrick didn't know either because Patrick said something about Lucky not liking Jake being there.
When she was walking out
with Jake.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, no, they don't know.
No one knew.
But Emily knew, right?
She...
Okay, sorry, give me $20. I'm kidding.
Emily knew before she died.
Yeah.
Okay.
She told Jason, Liz told Jason that she told Emily knew.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, big sis, okay. Okay, fine, you were right. Yeah, okay, you just have
Emily knew. Emily had a feeling the whole time. She knew, and then Liz confirmed it.
Okay, but I don't know why I thought, I just thought because of the Patrick thing, who's the daddy was coming with Patrick, go, okay, yeah, okay, fine, you're always right.
But yeah, that's why Emily, that's why when Emily pushed Jason so hard to be with Liz. It's because she knew that Jake was there. Yep. When she went, Remember when Emily went over, she was wearing that red, and she was talking to Jason about being with Liz, and Liz came to the door, knocking on Jason's door, and Emily was there. That's the same day Liz told Emily that Jake was Jason.
Okay, I get that now. Okay, I just, you know,
that's why she was pushing Jason so hard to be with Liz, because that's the day Liz told Emily that Jake was Jason.
Okay, because I just was under this wrong impression because I was wrong about because I just thought, oh, Robin is big, you know, Terry was right.
Yeah, Terry was right. Terry, you were right.
Yeah, I know. I'm PMing her. I'm being very funny.
I see you rubbing
it in, huh?
Yeah, that's the word I'm looking for, rubbing it in.
I got to hang out with a very important person today, you guys.
Who's that?
My little niece, Ariana, who's like, well, she's going to be 3 in October, and it's taken her 2.5 years to even come to me and, you know, talk to me. I mean, she ain't met her. She only hugs and kisses when my grandma reminds her that, you know, it's time to do that. But now she comes to me, okay, she's just so cute. And she wants me to take her shopping next time because at 3 years old, she's like this fashion person. Like, she won't stay in her clothes more than 2 hours because she needs to go get another pretty dress on.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so my brother and his wife are going to have, clothing problem because my other niece, Sophie, is like that, too. Well, Yeah, they love garments. Some people are going to mud, but when she's wearing a dress, she loves wearing a dress, and she convinced my mom. My mom took the 2 older ones to buy boots and shoes for school. They talked my mom into buying them both 3 pairs of whatever they wanted. And then, which was funny, was the older one, Annabelle, had these hooker boots on. I'm not kidding you.
Hooker boots?
They look, like Sam.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, there's right? And I didn't say anything, but the first reaction, she goes, what did you think of it? And I go, well, what does everyone else think about it? Because all I could think is, oh, my gosh, I do not want her wearing it because they were more for, 16-year-olds. And, you know, but that's the first thing that came in my mind. Oh, my gosh, she's having Kelly Monaco boots. This is not good.
She's a teenager, honey.
She's 9. No, 8. She's going to be 8. But well, she's 8 going on 20, I mean.
20, yeah.
I mean, it was, it was a riot and... Terry's the funniest person I've ever met, by the way. I'm excited for Grace. I've seen, some of the fall pictures about Grace Anatomy, and you guys, it looks really good this season.
Yeah, it comes on the 23rd? Is that the season premiere? When is it?
Next week. This week is like the 2-hour repeat of the season and do.
Coffee's better.
Huh?
Bridget Coffee Chatter.
What's the Bridget laugh at?
Sorry, Shirley, you don't have a computer, right? So you're not in chat, right,
Shirley?
Yes, Shirley?
I do have a computer, but now I'm not in the chat.
You're not logged on? Okay, because we're just being funny with the smileys. We're just like...
Oh, the smileys. They got all kind of different little smileys.
I guess I was just being bored, so I just...
Oh, yeah, I see them. I see all the little creatures.
Okay.
Good Lord, how many are you going to do, Bridget?
I did a bunch earlier than that. I was doing a bunch of them. I didn't think anybody, I thought people were going to be quicker than that, and you notice what I was doing, but, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Everything comes back next week mostly, and brothers and sisters doesn't come back for another week and a half. Why are they making it last way to almost the end of the month for brothers and sisters? Please tell me, people.
But you know, some shows don't come back. You know, when 24 used to be on, I used to have to wait till like January to see that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I hated that. Okay,
yeah.
Why is me?
You know, on Idol, you know they picked Jennifer Lopez for the fourth judge.
Yep.
You know, I've gotten to the point where I don't really care about that show. It doesn't do anything for me anymore.
Yeah.
When Paula left, it sort of lost something, and then when Simon left,
yeah,
and I just can't see.
They were the whole part of the show. I mean,
yeah, I mean,
you wanted
to
hear what.
Exactly.
Between Simon and Paula. And,
exactly.
And,
but now, yeah. Who cares about, and they say Jennifer Lopez is a real biatch. She's a real diva. No one really likes to work with her, you know. And
what
then there's Steven Tyler. I said, Steven Tyler's going to be one of the, I said, I don't even know whether I'm even going to look at the freaking show this go around, you know. But Dancing with the Stars comes on soon, too, so.
I can't.
I'll definitely be watching that. And I'm trying to try to get into some of these new shows, you know. I want to get me some good prime times to watch.
Well, my job is to find my grandma a decent show without sex, without drugs. So, like, this is an impossible job for me. This is very impossible.
Without sex?
Yes.
If they're not killing somebody having sex or cussing, it's not going to be on TV.
Speaking of a show about sex, does anybody know when Spartacus comes back on?
It comes on soon. You know, but like I said, this is going to be the prequel to Spartacus, and the actual.
Spartacus
won't start until 2011, January.
Okay, not to be dumb, but in the prequel before the actual release. So,
I guess they're going to show how Spartacus got to be who.
Yep.
Right. You know, this is
the
this
beginning
is
the of
it. Okay.
Yep.
So, I can't.
You know, sometimes I don't like it when they do that on shows. Like, you know, I don't mind, like, sequels. I hate it when they did that on, Star Wars or whatever. Terry, are you here?
I'm here, why?
Because you left the album.
Oh, sorry. Why is the media player not okay? I don't know. Oh, I'm gone. Yeah, I left chat room. Sorry.
Look at all these little creatures, all these little faces. Oh, my gosh. Oh, look at them.
Somebody said Jason Liz forever put a comment on here September 15th saying, good night. I can't see your posting, so have a good one, ladies. And she goes, okay, I'm kind of got kicked out of the room, so I hope y'all a good evening. And I love this song, Playing Against the Odds, one of my faves. See? Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
All right. You know, there's so much new shows I got. You know, and my TiVo, you guys, is going to be so freaking full, until, like, ever. I mean, it's always full. I mean, it's like that with my co-host, too. Her DVR is filled up, right? Don't you have summer shows you still watching?
Yeah. I still have my summer shows that I still have to watch. I haven't finished watching, like, Warehouse 13. And tonight I have, what's the show called? Dark Blue. I have to watch Hellcats. And then there's this new show, Outlaw, with Jimmy Smith I kind of recorded, but... I'm afraid to eat.
Did that start tonight?
Yeah, it's on right now.
Oh, dude, I missed it.
Okay.
I was looking at the game. Was it good?
I haven't seen it yet. It's recording right. It just started right now. So.
Okay. Wait. Did I hear you tell me that Hellcast is on tonight?
Yes, Hellcast is on tonight.
Damn, son of a bitch.
That's a hit show. I was going to say Little Sis. That's a hit show right now. Hellcat.
Well,
now, Outlaw on ABC, NBC, CBS? What's
on NBC. It might replay the pilot's going to be on tomorrow at, 10 o'clock my time, so it might come on, you're 3 hours probably ahead of me, so.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, and, Sylvie, what show were you looking for? Is anyone going to watch that Tom Selleck one, like?
That looks good.
I'm going to watch that.
But, you know, I have a feeling that the shows are going to coincide with one another. I'm going to be wanting to
watch
Grey's because there's so many new ones on. And I said, I'll have to watch one live and then I can get on the computer and watch the show. You know,
Do you have a VCR?
Yeah, I have a VCR, but you can't buy those tapes anymore. I don't think you can buy VHS tapes.
Oh, really?
Anymore.
Okay.
I don't think so. And I don't have a DVR, so I can just get on the computer and I can.
When Terry was here, she tried to help me fix my VCR because there's a tape in it. While I was watching, I had, like, all of the Jason moments on one tape that I just did. Mm-hmm. And one day it stopped working, and it made this funny...
That was the tape, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and bye. I cannot even get the tape out of the VCR.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's like crap.
You see, what I have one where I have a VCR and a DVD all in one. You know, one side is DVD and the other side
I have that too, yeah.
Yeah.
My DVR is going to be loaded with shows. I better get the ball rolling and watching the summer shows that I still have to watch.
Okay, I could say something right now. But I do want you to call me at midnight, so I won't say to me.
Blue Bloods is okay. Hawaii 5-0 too.
I want to watch that with my a little cutie pie. I hope he makes it this time because his shows don't really last. They get canceled.
Which guy is so freaking hot. Isn't he cute?
He's so cute.
Yeah. I loved him in Moonlight.
Did you see the movie with him with Jennifer Lopez?
Yes, The Backup Plan.
What's the backup plan?
I haven't seen that yet.
The whole movie. It was all her.
They said, you know, her
her movies usually suck. And, and unfortunately, he was in one of them, so. That's unfortunate.
He is flipping good looking, that man.
He's so cute, though.
Yep.
He's so cute. I
can't believe I missed Hellcast tonight.
Hellcast? What is that?
It's a CW show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
You can watch it on their CW player. They always put up I don't know when they do. They put it up, put all the shows up. I wasn't impressed with what Pre-Hill season premiere. I thought it was blah.
Well,
I love Girl Interrupted. The Girl Interrupted one was good.
Well, okay, because I haven't watched one Tree Hill in like 2 or 3 years.
Ever since they took Peyton and Lucas away, it sucks.
The Young Lovers or something?
They got married and had a baby. Yep. Once they got rid of them, it just went downhill.
You know what show I do miss, though? I miss Gilmore Girls. I was such a
huge too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, I was also a fan of Seventh Heaven. I mean, so it's like, but no, see, I'm supposed to find a comedy like Everyone Loves Raymond from my grandma. See, still watching that and we won.
Oh, she likes the old show so much.
Yeah,
she loves Everyone Loves Raymond.
When is SoapNet going off the air? Is it next year, SoapNet?
We have like a year and a half or something.
Oh.
You know, but I am going to miss, you know.
I'm sort of going to miss that too, but, well, I didn't look at all of those, but then some of the show, you know, like I would, like the, when I used to wake up the wee hours of the morning, there really wasn't too much on, so I'd get SoapNet and I'd look at the AMC or, you know, I'd look at everything except GH because I couldn't stand to watch that little short person with Jason. I just couldn't take it. I said, Hey, did you guys see the promo, It's Raining Men?
Yes.
Do you see? Now, you saw Jason. I guess that's Sam.
Yep. It was when after the non-wedding and they were getting it on and she dropped her shirt, her dress or whatever.
Oh,
yeah.
I never saw that. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she didn't have on any bra. I mean, I can't see. She must have had on pasties or something. I mean, I saw that. I was taken back. I said, whoa. Wow. That's wild and crazy, baby.
Yay! What was that? Oh, so, I saw The Raining Men. I thought,
Do you think Madison was the one that killed David?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
I think it is, too.
Really? Mm-hmm. Why? Why would... Oh,
because, for one, she would do anything for Ryan because she's in love with him. For another, it's not the first time she's killed. And that digitalis was in Ryan's coat pocket. Either that or David did it himself and
that's what I also think.
But why would he kill himself? That's really
okay,
crazy.
Okay. But remember on Days of Our Life, Tony killed himself once and blamed John Blackford? Okay, no one remembers that. Okay.
Yeah, I remember it. But I don't know. It's fishy that Ryan would have that digitalis bottle in his coat.
I saw that. I don't think Ryan did it.
He's going to get hypnotized and find out what happened.
Right, I know.
It makes you wonder, if she didn't try to do it,
yep.
Try to help.
Yep. Terry, did you have to go pretty soon?
Yeah, I'm going to go. I'm going to, I have to be quiet because I was talking too loud and Tanya's sleeping in the living room, so I got to keep it down anyway. So I'll call
okay,
you
well,
night,
call me.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, I'll talk to you guys, girls, later.
Okay, see you, Terry.
Bye.
Bye. I also think that it was Madison, you know?
Hmm.
Oh, well, I have a question. You know the thing wrong with Angie?
Yeah.
If she cured the baby, I mean, not cured, but, you know, if she wasn't pregnant, would she have gone blind anyway?
Well, she was going. She was taking that drug,
yeah,
and it was helping her.
Yeah, it was sort of slowing down the process or something like that.
She had to stop taking that drug because it would hurt the baby.
Right.
She made the decision to have the baby and quit the drug.
Right.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, somewhere down the road, it's
she's
going to
get her sight back.
Miracle cure, you know
mm-hmm.
that. You know that.
Yep.
You know that.
Yeah,
but she's
yeah,
but,
I mean,
but she this, really playing it, though. She's Debbie Morgan.
Oh, yeah.
I love. Okay, but Debbie Morgan on another soap, or am I just. But
I don't know.
Another,
All I know is that years ago it was.
She was on AMC since she was a
AMC
kid.
AMC for years.
Okay.
Her and Jesse were both on since
exactly.
They were
exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, and then Jesse died. Well, presumed dead, right? In a
yep.
explosion.
Yeah, supposedly
yeah.
for like 20 years.
Yep.
And he came back, and they always had great chemistry because
oh, yeah.
they're great friends. They're
yep.
Very, very good
mm-hmm.
friends.
Very natural. Very
yeah.
natural.
Yeah, and you know,
mm-hmm.
you know, AMC, the fun tip I like is the kind that Chad and Jesse have, and then kind of like Zeke and Ryan sort of have it too, that, you know, Chad
okay.
would do anything. Yeah, Chad would do anything for Jesse or Andy. And,
because they've always
they've
been close. They've always
her.
Been close for years.
Yep.
And
Chad's
sister.
Back in the Dixie attacks, Chad Dixie days, yep.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
You know, I was a huge Chad and Dixie fans.
Yeah, I think everybody loved Chad and Dixie.
Yeah,
yeah.
But so when that, so, and I also liked, Gloria and Stuart when they were like together.
Oh, way back when.
Oh,
yeah.
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 Oh,
way
wow.
back when.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, I liked those. You know, couples. Oh, you know who else could have done it? Kendall.
No,
no,
I don't think
Kendall. Think
Kendall
did it.
No,
no,
she didn't
no.
do it because
mm-hmm.
she's got too much to live for.
Mm-mm, no.
Stealing those papers is one thing, but she wouldn't have killed David.
No. Uh-uh.
Okay.
Just by the way she's acting,
mm-hmm.
Kendall
no,
is very
she
telling when she's guilty. Mm-hmm. You can tell.
Yeah.
I know that they're saying that you're going to be shocked as to who to find, you know. Who
exactly.
Said,
yeah.
Who,
oh, and I do have another question on AMC. Yeah, what did you think of the Bianca's recast? Because really, I'm not feeling it at all.
You know, it's just like any new character that takes over, you know, for somebody else. It,
yeah.
it takes you a while. She's a pretty good actress.
Yeah.
I have to.
Oh well, yeah.
I'm
gonna
tell
yeah.
you, she's better. I sort of like her better than I do with what's her name playing.
Oh, Eve Regal.
Yeah, Regal.
Yeah.
I can't buy into her character.
I
can't, you know. The other
okay,
girl was good. Why they,
yep.
you know, but and Eaton Regal is a good actress.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it seems so funny to see her and Chloe together because on AMC they
I
were
know.
Lovers.
They were partners, yeah.
They were
yeah,
lovers.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, I always tell myself, okay, this is a different soap opera because, you know, I've heard rumors that guy is not really dead.
Well, you know, I had thought that he wasn't dead, but then maybe he
Oh, Chance?
Now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had thought I said no, I don't think.
Doesn't it? I mean,
huh?
It makes you wonder.
Yeah. Okay, somebody has a gun went off. I mean, and I'm thinking he was a cop, correct?
Yeah.
So sometimes don't you wear the bullet, you know, the bulletproof vest too?
Yeah,
oh,
but
I had thought about that too. I had thought about that too.
You can tell if they wear them though because they're so damn bulky. He wasn't wearing
right,
one.
Right.
Okay.
No, you can tell if they're wearing a bulletproof vest.
Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm.
you can see the outlines of it.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah, you can.
Because when Steve wears his bulletproof vest, you can always tell through his shirt that he's wearing it.
Yeah.
Oh,
but he always
yeah.
wears his on the outside. Well, sometimes he wears his on the outside, too, so.
You know what, I don't think Victor should ever win Father of the Year.
Oh, he'll never
he's
be
awful.
Father of the Year.
He's
He'll
awful. He's willing to send his daughter to jail.
Till he retires from YNR, he will be an overbearing, controlling bastard. He will.
You know what? Yes. Today he got on the phone and he was calling some judge and he said that he did that thing in Japan that he what do you call it? That,
well, he did.
I know. So he was he
just to prove a point. I feel so bad for Nikki. That psycho bitch that feeds her alcohol.
I know.
Something bad's gonna happen.
Oh, Catherine and who both recovering alcoholics?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Catherine
used to booze it up for years.
Half the stuff
she was married to that Chancellor, whatever his name was, you know, she was drinking back in the day.
Oh yeah, she was always.
She had a little alky problem.
Wonder what's wrong with her now? Cause she about fainted today. Something is wrong with her.
Well, you know, she almost had a stroke that time.
Yeah, so something's up
know.
With her. I wonder if
yeah.
they're gonna.
So if someone had a stroke, they could have another one like years later, right?
Oh yeah, they're.
Oh
if
yeah.
You,
okay.
Yeah.
You know, they like
you can have many strokes and not even know about it.
Right.
Wow. Because
multiple.
I don't know if I ever. Yeah, I don't know if I ever told you guys this, but my grandma had a stroke like on her left side. I mean, and she did not want to wake me up because I was like 8, so she crawled into my grandfather's room because they didn't sleep together. And my mom did not really want to wait for the ambulance because she thought it was very critical getting her to the hospital. And hadn't they waited for the ambulance, she would have been paralyzed on that side. But, you know, I mean, she still feels, I mean, she doesn't feel her left hand all the time because of the stroke, but that was like the only... like one bad thing from it. But no, I'm loving YNR right now. I'm absolutely.
Oh, I love that show. Yeah,
yep.
I love that show. And I just love the way how they just bring all the cast together. I mean.
Well, even the couples that aren't together anymore interact with each other. That's
exactly.
what I really got.
Exactly.
They aren't taboo and they can't be around each other. Like Phyllis and Nick, they're having problems getting a divorce, but they can still be in the same room doing their snarky back and forth.
Right.
And it's still watchable. There's just still a story there.
So, you know, I was listening to, what's that guy's name? What's his name? Ryan?
Richard.
Richard.
I
mean,
I was
that's a good point.
And, you know, and he talk about triangle.
I said, you know, sooner or later he's going to have to come to an end. He's going to have to choose
exactly.
who he's going to be with. Come on. No one wants to sit through 20 freaking years of this going back and forth. I mean, not even the fans. And I don't think that's that great because
look how many times they put Sonny and Carly together and then Sonny and Jax together, then back to Sonny and Carly and then back to Sonny and Brent. I mean, they do these triangles so much, it gets redundant.
I
mean, how many times do you put these people in these triangles before it gets old?
Right.
I mean, that's not love to me. That's just that's just being lazy.
That's just
you know.
Since both of you like watched Dave, remember when Hope was Princess Xena, but she wasn't really Princess Xena. But who and Dawn slept together?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you guys ever see the chemistry between them, or was I just being crazy?
I wasn't watching Days back in the day.
I
didn't start watching Days until
I don't know. I never really cared for them being together. It was kind of, they had better chemistry as family. I mean, being friends and stuff, but as far as romantic, I wasn't into that.
Mm-hmm. I just remember people just like, going off the Reagan for that one, and Hope and Dawn really together, and you know, I just didn't care for the Princess Xena storyline because it, to me, it lasted a while.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
Because she was sad after they thought she died in that birdcage with that explosion.
Yep.
That's when that all started. Yeah, because she was stepping up, put her in a big bird cage, and then they thought she died in an explosion.
We all were stupid crying that she died,
and
I was crying.
Back as Princess Xena because she had no memory of being Hope. They made her, Stefano made her into this new person as Princess Xena.
They go through some crazy stories.
And the worst storyline I hated on Days was when Marlena was possessed.
That was the stupidest storyline
I had ever seen on Days of Our Lives. Was that
That's
stupid
awful.
Exorcism of when John? I was like, you have got to be freaking kidding me! This is ignorant.
Oh my God, you know, I waited for someone to say that, you know, because I hear that was the stupidest storyline ever.
So dumb. It was like that. I didn't watch Days for when that was.
Me either.
You've got to be kidding me. She was killing people and pretending that she didn't remember, and then this exorcist, the eyeballs and all that. I was like, give me a break. I mean, let's move on. Let's go to something that's real. Stupid.
I'm glad I wasn't watching it. I'm anxious for Maggie and Victor to get together. I like them.
Me too.
I like them. And Maggie, she got us. Oh, I'm back. At the, what's that crazy bitch's name?
Vivian?
Vivian?
Huh?
I hope Vivian gets hers. I wish she was gone.
Okay.
They need to get rid of her. She's boring as hell.
So is Kate really Phil's mother or Vivian nothing?
Yeah, it was Kate's egg in Vivian's body. Vivian stole Kate's eggs. Instead of Kate.
Because one day, Vivian goes to Phil, don't you let me on your mother or something? I'm like,
no. She stole, she was in the hospital, stole Kate's eggs, and that's how she got
whacked out. I'm going to tell you, Brady, I said, Brady, don't kill her. I know he wants to, but Brady, they're in the